I went to Missouri. I was the first strength coach in the history of Missouri Tigers, you know, coaching 16 sports by myself, no assistants.
Oh, you were helping with all the sports?
No, you trained them all. You didn't have help in those days. I was also the film coach, had to film practice, men and women's basketball practice. They used to ship me to St. Louis to film St. Louis Blues hockey every once in a while. You know, it was crazy. I was also the headset coach. I had to take care of the headsets. I was also the assistant linebacker coach. Right, on practice days, I would warm up the team, get the linebackers ready, right, crawl up on the tire with a megaphone, coach with a megaphone with a camera like this, talking at the same time, filming practice, and then go develop that crap, that 16-millimeter stuff. So, and I made $3,500 a year.
I think you're underpaid.
It was fun, though. So we had fun in those days.
Your first NFL job was?
82.
And that was?
Sam Rutigliano was the head coach. It was Cleveland Browns.
Were you a full-time strength and conditioning coach that first year?
Yes.
And was there anybody else who had that job in the NFL at that time?
Dan Riley, and I believe there was a guy at Kansas City. I believe there was a guy, Alvin Roy, out of the San Diego Chargers. And I'd be guessing anywhere else. There's only three or four of us.
Where was Riley?
Dan Riley was with the Washington Redskins. We got in the same spring together.
How has the business evolved? I mean, it's a lot more detail-oriented now.
Well, I tell you, the guy that really kind of put us on the map and so to speak, let everybody know what strength training can do for football players, and it was Boyd Epley at Nebraska. He was my mentor when I was playing there, and when I was one of his first pupils. I was part of a four-year study. I volunteered to be part of the study because I knew I wanted to coach this stuff. And they did strength tests on us before the off-season program started, in the middle, at the end. And they charted your progress. And then they tested us again when we came back from summer vacation. And if you train, you actually, you know, you made more gains or whatever. And they tested us midseason, they tested us postseason. What they found out was people that did not maintain their strength could lose up to 60 to 80% of what they had gained during the off-season program. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Injuries, fatigue, abuse. It's the most abusive sport to mankind. There is no more of an abusive sport. There is not. All right? That many contests and that many collisions, it's like being a car wreck. Your joints go, you know. Go ahead.
Have you figured out a way to avoid those?
Well, you can't.
Lessen them?
Yeah. You can't avoid injury. Accidents are going to happen.
The drops and strikes.
Yeah. Most of your injuries occur, in my opinion, right before the first half and at the end of the game when fatigue sets in. So there's a fatigue factor, definitely. A player that wasn't getting to you before that might be in better shape than your opponent gets to you, right? It's because he might spend a little bit more time in the offseason doing what he's supposed to be doing. It's about body preservation. Weight training helps that. Not weightlifting. I'm not here to teach them to be better weightlifters. That's not what I do. We're here to weight train to be better football players, and be better shape to play the game. That's my only concern. Two columns, win, lose. That's it.
So how do you draw the line between going for athleticism and, you know, bulk strength? Because they're not always the same thing, and I know there's some.
You can do the best of both worlds, though. You know, your Olympic moves and your ground-based activity. In all sports, including swimming, there's something called triple extension, all right? Simultaneous extension of the ankle, knee, hip. Whenever you start, stop, run, jump, whatever you're doing, you're trying to defy gravity, and you're extending that situation, right? That triple extension, right? All your Olympic moves, all your plyometrics, all your running programs, all your speed agilities, all that stuff does that. All your football movements do that, right? That's why we do that, right? What I'm going to be is specific to the sport of football. Most of our conditioning, not all, but most of our conditioning will be position specific. In the weight room, there will be mostly ground-based activity. Their feet are going to be planted on the ground. It used to be called free weights. Now it's called functional training. But it's the same stuff. It just has a new name. It's gone full circle. You know, machines definitely have their place. bulk training has their place, has its place, because it's a contact sport and they need the padding and the protection. That's what that does for you. So we're going to lean more towards the functional free weight triple extension ground-based activity, but we're also going to do some hypertrophy work, you call it. You want to call it bodybuilding, you can, I don't care. Any way you want to tag it, it's important that they get that. Now, if football was not a contact sport, wouldn't do a lot of that. But that protects them. If you were to take a picture of a football player at the end of the off-season program and then not lift him one time and then take a picture of his body dressed down in a pair of shorts at the end of the football season, it's like taking the air out of a balloon. They deflate. And they lose sometimes 60 to 80% of that strength. They lose speed. They lose conditioning because they're beat up. It's an abusive sport. It's modern-day gladiators. I got to get them ready for that.
How much do you know how much are you going to do much different than what the last
well, kid is? Well, I'm not exactly, you know, I know Rock Gullickson. He's a personal friend of mine, and I know Rock's program to a certain extent. Probably the biggest difference between us is our first and last name, all right? And I'm probably going to be a little bit more ground-based, a little bit less machine-oriented. I'm not going to change much down there. I'm not going to add anything new. We're going to do more functional training, I guess you call it.
Was he position-specific, or was it more...
That I couldn't tell you. I'd be guessing.
Do you do not only position-specific, but how much do you tailor the workout to each individual guy? And his...
Yeah, well, if I had 78 hours every day and I had 10 assistants, I could personally do that. I'm charged with training facing 30 to 40 guys per workout. So you got to be pretty generic on what you're presenting. Now, if you came in and you came in and you came in, all right, I give you four variations of the same lift. You might use dumbbells. You might use the bar. You might do one-arm bench press with the bar loaded on one side and not on the other. You might do a machine because you're injured. You know, see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I present the lift, and then I let them choose what apparatus they prefer. I'm not big on any kind of max test. I don't care. It doesn't matter what they max out to me. I want to know that they can play football. They're here because they play football, not because they have a huge bench press, not because they have a huge squat. Now, we're going to use all those as tools to be better football players, period. That's all it is.
Have you seen much correlation of the strong, just the pure strongest, you know, squatters or benchers? Are they the best football players?
Not necessarily. I've had guys that can bench press the world and can't make our team. You know, I've had guys that can't bench press their sister and they're all pro every year. It's about levers. This is a conditioning program for football. That's the point I'm trying to make. This is not about how much they bench press. You know, and guys see a new guy coming in and think, oh, God, here we go again. Well, no, we're not going to go again in that direction. We're going to be positive. We're going to go win some football games. Because my goal is their goal. I want to help each individual prolong his career and be durable and be healthy and maybe play two or three more years than he thinks he can by being in shape year-round. You know, nutrition's a huge issue here. Facilities have improved, programs have improved, coaching's improved, supplements improved, and you know the only thing that hasn't? Our food sources. And we're all part of that because we have to eat fast foods or we have to eat chemicals or we eat non-organic when we eat stuff that, you know, food industry puts out there that's not necessary. Flavor enhancers, preservatives, sugars that we don't need. If you put high octane fuel in a high octane athlete, he's going to play a lot better. You put low octane fuel in a high octane athlete, he's not going to recover and play as well. So my message to the players is to change not their diet. I don't believe in diets. I believe in eating habits and behavior modification. I want to change that. And that's going to be a real strong message because you can, it does make a difference. Everyone at this table knows that. You eat fast food, you are what you eat. That old adage, you are what you eat, is true. So I really believe that.
How do you teach them that? How do you get that across?
Well, you have to change the You have to change what they're eating. You have to, and you have to spend some individual time with them. And there are some guys who are really keen on it already. And the guys that have made a change in their nutrition programs, sleep better, memorize better, play better, recover faster, live longer, live healthier. You know, we're all part of the problem. You guys had the same issue I do. Where do we eat tonight? We're in a hurry. We don't sit down with our families. We got to get to the next meeting. We got to get to the next practice. We got to get to the next show. We got to take our kids here. We got to take our kids there. So it's a fast world. It's fast foods. And they're not good for you, especially for athletes, because they need high-octane fuel. You put diesel fuel in a performance automobile, it don't work.